Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday, April 23rd, 5:27 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets are higher this morning. We're going to roll to the July contracts. July corn up one at 450 and three quarters. July soybeans up two and three quarters at 1179 and a quarter. July Chicago wheat up nine and three quarters at 597 and a quarter. July Kansas City wheat up eight and three quarters at 611 and a quarter. July spring wheat up eight and a half at 671 and a quarter. Let's start off with this wheat rally.
So U.S. wheat futures rallied sharply on Monday. The rally was attributed to worry regarding Black Sea ports following Russia's weekend attacks. In addition, concerns over building dryness in the U.S. southern plains may have helped to support prices. Some traders argue that Middle East tensions helped boost prices, although crude oil finished flat to lower on Monday. Traders estimate that fund trades were net buyers of 7,000 contracts of SRW wheat yesterday.
This is a nice rally. Kansas City wheat futures are like 70 cents off of the low that was posted in early March. When you look at the big picture chart and you go back to 2022, I mean, yeah, we've lost 56% from the 1379 per bushel high in Kansas City wheat. So this doesn't look like much on the bigger picture chart, but the near-term chart looks a little bit better. There's a few possible reasons here. Again, I don't, as Mackenzie mentioned, I don't know if I buy the Middle East thing. Crude oil finished like flat to lower yesterday. So I don't think that was the reason necessarily. The Russia Black Sea thing, maybe. I think Russia attacked some sort of fuel port in or Ukrainian port. And the U.S. weather and ratings thing, I think that might be maybe the biggest deal out of those three items. Maybe the trade kind of snuffed out the idea that ratings were going to fall, and we'll get to that here in a second. And you've also got some building dryness or drought in the southern plains in U.S. HRW wheat country. The last thing might just be good old-fashioned short covering. You've got these large money managers and funds. We talked about this yesterday. They're holding this massive net short across the grain complex, and it's a short that has not really performed very well at all over the last few weeks. You've had markets, corn, soybeans, wheat that have been, choppy to higher in some instances. So maybe you're getting to the point where they're getting frustrated with a short that's just not making money anymore. And you're getting into a seasonal time frame here. You know, it's going to be May in a few days. And you're getting into a seasonal time frame that's associated with a lot of weather risk. So maybe it's no more complicated than that. But in any case, we'll take the rally. It looks good.
U.S. winter wheat ratings declined sharply last week. As of Sunday, the crop was rated 50% good to excellent nationally versus 55% last week and 44% on average. The rating fell below analyst expectations of 54%. However, it was the highest rating for the first time for this time of year since 2021. The crop was rated 16% poor to very poor, up from 13% the prior week. The crop is 17% ahead nationally versus 11% last week and 13% on average. The U.S. spring wheat crop is 15% planted versus 7% last week and 10% on average.
The ratings went backwards in the southern plains. Kansas went from 43 down to 36. Oklahoma went from 60 down to 49. Colorado went down a couple points, 53 down to 51. You've got much better ratings in the Midwest and your SRW areas, and then kind of more of a mixed bag when you go up to the Northwest. So the situation in Kansas and surrounding areas as it relates to HRW wheat is the reason for the decline here largely. What about corn and soybeans?
So the corn crop was 12% planted nationally as of Sunday, compared to 10% on average and 6% the prior week. States that are 20% planted or better include Kansas, Kentucky, Missouri, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas. States with 5% of the crop planted or less include Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, North Dakota, Ohio, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. Soybean planting was reported at 8% complete nationally versus 4% on average and 3% and 3% the previous week. States that are 10% planted or better include Arkansas, Illinois, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, and Tennessee. No activity was reported in North Dakota, Ohio, or Pennsylvania.
So we're ahead of average in corn, soybean, and spring wheat planting. There had been a lot of chatter. We talked with this with Matt about this with Matt Bennett a little bit about how in some areas they're planting soybeans before corn. And you look at the soybean numbers state by state versus average. Illinois got 11% of the bean crop planted versus 6 on average. Iowa's got 8% of the bean crop planted versus 2 on average. Louisiana's at 42% versus 25 on average. Minnesota's 5% done with beans versus nothing on average. Missouri's 16% done with beans versus 3 on average. So there seems to be some truth behind that idea. Looking at the weather here, we got some rain coming back into the Corn Belt Thursday and Friday. And it's going to be scattered to start. And then when you go to the 10-day forecast or 10-day map, it's very, very wet. When you zoom in on the Corn Belt, over the next 10 days, they're talking 2 inches of rain across a big chunk of the Corn Belt, most of Illinois, most of Iowa, most of Wisconsin and Minnesota, Missouri, into Kansas, into Nebraska, South Dakota. So it's a wetter forecast. Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, areas of the eastern Corn Belt, a little bit drier. Looking at the southern plains, there is some rain in the forecast for U.S. HRW wheat country, which we discussed. The central part of Kansas looks like it may catch some rain, but there's a lot of wheat in that western part of Kansas and eastern part of Colorado, far west Oklahoma into the Panhandle area, North Texas, that may still be dry. So this is a mixed bag, and a lot of this stuff for the southern plains is in that 5 to 10 day period. And we know that anything past 4 or 5 days is kind of a crapshoot when it comes to weather. So it could go either way. So maybe some relief in sight, but far from a guarantee. I wonder when you go back to the Midwest, like once we get through these next couple of days and there's a decent window here and there's a lot being done from what I'm told, things may be held up for a little while. If you guys have updates on planting in your area, drop them in the YouTube comments this morning.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about yesterday's video?
Paul Niefer, the Farm CPA, does videos for us a couple times a month. He talks about taxes and policy and that sort of thing. Should I use a grantor trust? Do you know what that is? If you're in the process of transition planning, maybe you should know and you should be aware of this item. In today's video, I'm going to do a full grain marketing review. I'm going to run through every cash sale I've advised for corn, soybeans, and wheat. We had some new recommendations out this morning. It's a super transparent way to track grain marketing. If you guys are looking for a more simple approach, you should absolutely check out the premium stuff. We had some questions recently in the YouTube comments like, hey, in the premium stuff, do you guys do grain marketing? And absolutely, yes, we do in great, great, great detail. Super simple, super, super easy to follow. I'm going to run through everything in today's video. If you guys wanted to see the premium stuff, go to standardgrain.com. You can sign up this morning. It's a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel at any time. It includes an email, 2 emails from us per day, but the big one is 5 a.m. Central Time. It includes the 6 most recent premium videos. It includes a lot of charts that we don't show here on YouTube. Like we had all the seasonal crop progress and condition charts. We have all the fun tracker charts every Monday morning, some weather stuff that we don't do on the public stuff. We can't make everything for you guys. This is what floats the boat for us. This premium subscription is what allows us to do the podcast and YouTube every day. Without it, we'd be off tomorrow. So check it out this morning, guys. I think you'll enjoy it.
Brazil's first shipment of sugarcane ethanol has arrived in the U.S. for sustainable aviation fuel production. Raisin South America, the world's largest supplier of sugarcane ethanol, sent the shipment, which will be used at LanzaJet's SAF plant down in Georgia. LanzaJet is using Brazilian sugarcane ethanol instead of U.S. corn ethanol due to its lower carbon score. Several of Brazil's largest mills have met the certifications needed for SAF production. LanzaJet has stated that once U.S. corn ethanol lowers its carbon score, it intends to use the feedstock for SAF.
We talked about this, was it last week maybe or two weeks ago? And I like went on some rant about how, you know, the U.S. needs to get its shit together and we got to get this GREET model out. And I had a bunch of people email me or text me and they're like, Joe, you've got to put together some sort of letter that we can all sign. I'm like, guys, I'm a guy on the internet. You need to get a hold of national corn growers or your state association, ask them about these checkoff dollars. Where the hell are they going? Why are we not pushing and pushing and pushing to get these new models and tax guidance? Because we need it now. Because as it stands at this very moment, Brazil and their sugar ethanol are going to eat our lunch for us. And we could desperately use the additional demand. We could desperately need it. This graphic is from the article last week. And this is using, again, an old model called the Corsia model, where U.S. corn has much higher emissions than Brazil sugarcane. Don't ask me about the science behind it. This is a policy thing, guys. I don't have a clue about the science. But the policy as it stands right now needs to be revised in the United States, and the government is not helping your cause.
U.S. corn shipments were strong last week. USDA reported that 64 million bushels of corn were inspected for export during the week ending April 18th. The print surpassed pre-report estimates and was up 20% from the previous week and up a whopping 73% compared to the same week last year. Soybean shipments were reported at 16 million bushels. That was down 2.5% versus the prior week, but up 15% compared to the same week last year. Wheat shipments were reported at 17 million bushels, down 27% from the previous week, but up 24% versus the same week last year.
The concern here as it relates to sales and shipments would be soybeans. We're not really on track to hit USDA's projection, even though it's been revised lower. So I think they may have to come down a little bit. Corn and wheat were probably close-ish. And the wheat marketing year's only got, 5 weeks left. So I think we should hit the target there within a pretty slim margin.
The former CFO of ADM has agreed to resign. Vikram Luthar was suspended back in January after a voluntary document request from the SEC led to an investigation into ADM's accounting practices. ADM's shares plunged 24% as a result of the situation, erasing $8.8 billion in market value. Luthar has agreed to step down from his position by the end of September. He had been with ADM for about 2 decades and held the CFO position for 2 years. Luthar will still receive his annual cash performance incentive award for 2023, totaling just over $750,000.
I guess somebody had to take the fall for all of this. There had been some concern when this story first surfaced. People with cash grain contracts were worried, am I going to get paid? You know, that sort of thing. And all of that appears to be unfounded. It looks as if this is kind of a done deal, which is good news for you guys, I think. What did cattle do yesterday?
Cattle futures climbed higher. Feeders closed an average of 371 higher. Live cattle closed an average of 256 higher. Box beef was mixed yesterday. Choice ended the day at 295.67. That was down 13 cents. Select ended the day at 290.83. That was up $1.56.
Outside markets on Tuesday, U.S. dollars about flat. Stocks are higher. The S&P's up 14. The Dow's up 80. Bonds are about flat. Gold is down $30 this morning. It's been under some pressure. Crude is down 17 cents. And the June WTI at 81.73 has been a little bit softer here the last few days. Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.